Okay, the topic we want to talk about today, the differences between Ashkenazim and Sephardim. I just want you to understand it's a very difficult topic to talk about, because in order to understand the Minhagim, Ashkenazim and Sephardim, you have to get a lot of background. And to talk about that in 40 minutes, 45 minutes, is impossible. Shagat Aryeh, should a lot of you heard about Shagat Aryeh. Shagat Aryeh was one of the Gedolei Ador that lived in Europe. When he became a Rav in a city, the minhag, the custom in that city was that any Rav that comes into the city, he has to say what minhagim, what customs he would like the city to follow. The Shagat Aryeh also, when he became a Rav, they asked him, please write down for us, what minhagim would you want us to follow, and what do you want the city to follow based on your minhagim? Shagat Aryeh said, no problem. He sat down and wrote down a paper. He said, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, lo yeh lecha Elohim acherim, and write down the Ten Commandments. He said, this is the minhagim I want you to follow. That was the custom of Shagat Aryeh. In other words, we are all, the world, the Jewish world, are all entangled with what custom do you have? Sephardi, Ashkenazi, Hasidi, Sattver, Ger, who cares? The main thing is that we all have Torah. We all have our Torah, Tenu HaKadosha, the Holy Torah that Hashem gave us, and this is what we need to follow. The Saba Misalabatka, she was the Rosh Yeshiva of Arav Brudenam, Rosh Yeshiva of that Tzal, and all the Gedolim in America. He said a very interesting idea about Minhagim, about customs. He said it's like a person sitting in a train. Right? The train is going west. You are facing east, the other one facing south, the other one facing north. But the train is going west, and you're all going west. Doesn't matter where you are facing. And this is what the minhagim, the customs, are about. And this is what we need to understand. I'm going to explain to everything where the minhagim come from, but the important thing is that don't hang on to these things, small details. We have, I always say, that when you go to Eretz Yisrael, it's very hard to find hamburgers. You find kebabs, right? What's the difference between ingredients of kebab and hamburger? Nothing. The same ground, if they make hamburger, they make kebab with. One of them is long, one of them is round. That's the whole difference. This is what the difference between us, Jews, are. Baruch Hashem, we have a Torah that combines us. We have the main things that combines us. And this is what we need to focus on. Now, after the Churban Beit HaMikdash, when the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, the Jews divided to two different parts. Some Jews went to north, some Jews went to south. And they stayed in north, and they stayed in south. Those days there was no internet, there was no phone call, there was no fax, there was nothing. Everybody there, they sat in their corner, and they followed, they practiced the Torah. Now, through this division that happened, people went this way and that way, the Minhagei Ashkenazim and Sephardim were introduced. That's where it was created. The Minhagim were created because they were sitting in two different parts of the land, and they had no connection with each other. They didn't talk to each other, and they didn't have a way to talk and communicate. What are you doing on Pesach? What are you doing on Shabbat? What are you doing on this and that? They couldn't talk, and therefore everybody made their own ideas. I think we need to, on Pesach, we need to, what's wrong with eating rice? What's wrong with eating potatoes? Well, everybody made up their own way of understanding how the Torah wants us, how the Halacha wants us to communicate and to observe. Now, if you look at first of all, I want to tell you something. There's no book. There's not written one book by right person that talks about the differences between Ashkenazim and Sephardim. There's only one book written in England 80 years ago by some rabbi, I don't know if it's a conservative or orthodox, I don't know what it is, That's the only book that really written about this, and he has a lot of things in there which if you read that book you're going to say, what's the joke? And therefore I'm not going to tell you the name of the book, so I don't want you to even get it, read it, but there's a lot of information is there which is not right and is not true. The minhagim are is essence of halacha. In order to keep halacha, you have to have a minhag. In other words, we have a body of halacha. In order to understand how is this halacha works, you have to have the inner part, the neshama of the halacha is a minhag. That's what the minhagim come from. I'll give an example. On a Shabbos, right? You want to enjoy on Shabbos. On a Shabbos is something that every Jew observes on a Shabbos. Have a pleasure on Shabbos. Now, if you read the Sefarim, Gemara, Rishonim, and Achronim, on a Shabbos, according to a lot of poskim, is midoraita. You have to have on a Shabbos. But is it written anywhere how to have on a Shabbos? No. There's nowhere it's written that how to have on a Shabbos. Now, Ashkenazim that went to north and Sephardim went to south, they all made up their own mind how to have on a Shabbos. The Sephardim, they eat rice and meat and stew, and depends on where you are from, Morocco, they eat something else. Ashkenazim, they eat potatoes and chicken and chicken soup and chicken. That's the way that the Minhagim came from. They made up their own mind. I want to have on a Shabbos. What is my neshama is asking to have to preserve on a Shabbos? What should I do to have on a Shabbos? They, based on where they were living, let's say they were living in Germany and France, they made up, based on the society that they were living in order to have a proper on a Shabbos and feel Kedusha on the list of Shabbos, you have to have these foods. They came out with that food and stayed on. The Sephardim, by the way, Sephardim is not only one Sephardim. Sephardim is not like Ashkenazim. Ashkenazim, you have different groups of Ashkenazim, but more and less, they are all the same. By Sephardim is a totally different ballgame. You have Moroccans, you have Syrians, you have Iraqis and Persians, all that side of the world. Then you have North Africa, that is a different ballgame. Then you have Yemen. Taimanim are different. These are all the different things, and they at that they did not communicate with each other how to have on. They came up with their own idea, and they came up with their food. A different example: davening. The halacha is you have to daven. Now, how do I daven? What should I do that my neshama communicates with the Kodesh Baruch Hu? Now, the Jews that they lived in Middle Eastern Jews, or the Jews in Spain, or Jews that live in Syria or Yemen, they came out with the nigunim, with songs that brings their neshama out and talks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Jews that they live in Germany and France, they had a different connection. They came out with the base on where they were living, and they listened to so many different tunes. They said, you know what, this is the way I'm going to communicate with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They came out with that song. In other words, they had the halacha, but they had a body, they had to give it a neshama. This is what the minhagim are about. The minhagim, the concepts, are the neshama of the halacha. A goof, a body cannot survive without the neshama, and the neshama cannot survive without the body. But you need both in order to have a complete picture of who we are and what we are. And that's where the minhagim came about, and that's where the Klal Israel, they came up with the idea of minhagim. A third example, Pesach. Pesach, that really big differences between Jews of Sephardim and Ashkenaz. The reason, by the way, I'm not talking about Hasidim, because the Hasidim have a totally different reason why the Hasidim were created. The main differences between the Jews or Ashkenazim and Sephardim, Hasidim is a different idea that I'm going to talk about in the end. But the Ashkenazim and Sephardim, the reason we have differences in Pesach also is for the same reason. The kitniot. Ashkenazim don't eat kitniot. Where does the kitniot come from? Why don't you eat kitniot? What's wrong with kitniot? If you read the Gemara, which and all the most of the Rishonim, they say there's nothing wrong with eating kitniot. Kitniot, the reason is, as Rama says, because it looks like a flower. Now, how did it come about? The Jews that they lived in Germany and France, they made so many different things, like with the flour. And Jews that they lived with, listen, they didn't. They knew what's bread, what's not bread, and they didn't tochen, they didn't grind stuff. They didn't have the problem to differentiate between a kitniot and flour and bread and other things. Therefore, the Jews, they wanted to be machmir. They said, we want to keep Pesach. We want to keep it properly. What should we do to keep it properly? Then they said, the Chachamim and that generation, they came together. They said, what should we do? Make sure that we are not going to eat any form of a bread or flour, any form or shape. They made it all together. They said, listen, in order for us to be 100% sure that nobody is going to be mixed up a flour, a bread flour, and other flours, we have to definition, we have to make those kitniot also asur for us, because we have a problem. Those that they leave the other part, they didn't have that. Therefore, in order to keep the halacha, they had the goof of that, had the body of the halacha, they had to give it the neshama. They had to come with the soul. The soul was how to make sure that they had the halacha properly. Now, let me ask you a question. Anybody knows why the Ashkenazi Jews are allowed to eat potatoes on Pesach? You make potatoes also, yeah.
Well, I think it was kind of like their staple where they were living, and they needed to be able to do that. They wouldn't have anything else.
But if you made a gezerah, if they made a decree that anything that made flour out of it is asur, potatoes also they make it. They have potato starch today. Very clearly. It could become the same halacha like everything else. Do you know why? Because when they made the decree, potatoes were not around. Potatoes is an American phenomenon. Christopher Columbus made potatoes. That and God, Hashem, made it that way for Ashkenazim to have something to eat on Pesach. Otherwise, you had nothing to eat. This is why the potatoes are not part of the gezerah. And that brings us to a different idea. We are not capable, none of us are capable today, to come out in minhagim. You cannot come out and make up your own minhagim. This is what I think we should do. This is the nice custom to have. This is a proper custom. I want to give a neshama to the halacha. We cannot do that. Chachamim, Chazal, they made that neshama for us already. Those all finished. When Ramoshe Israelish wrote the Agot in Shulchan Aruch, it's over. Maharil was the one that is the father of the customs of Ashkenazim. It's done. We cannot come up with new minhagim. We cannot come up with new ideas and figure out, I am from this Shabbos on, I'm going to come out with a different idea how to have onik Shabbos. We can't do that. And you know, minhagim, has the same letters as Gehinam. If you turn it around, minhag and Gehinam is the same. Because when you change or switch or come out with the idea and you make up your minhagim, you are mamash destroying the neshama, the soul of Klal Israel. And that's why today, anybody comes out with a minhag, we don't listen to anybody. We have already. We are set. Now, you might ask, those minhagim that were made, the Jews live in Germany, in France, and the other Jews live in Middle Eastern and North Africa and Spain and all this, that's, we understand that. But today we're all here. Most of the Jews that live in America, most of the Jews they live in Eretz Israel. But let's come up with one thing and decide on it. Why can't we all have one custom? We don't need different customs anymore. Why do we need to have now different chicken soup on Friday night? Or you eat rice on Shabbos? Or you eat the potatoes? You don't eat rice. So what? It's finished. It's over. Let's make up a new, make one thing and me'ached and connect Klal Yisrael together and unify Klal Yisrael together. Why can't you do that? I'll tell you what the problem is. You know what? Technically, you are right. Technically, that's what we should do. But who is going to do it? If you start playing games with Minhagim, then Hashem Yerachem. You don't know where is it going to end up with. I want to tell you a story, it's a true story. And you see from this why Minhagim are so important, even though today a lot of it does not even apply to us, still have to keep them. Rema, when you look at the Shulchan Aruch, Rabbi Moshe Israelish, he writes the Minhagim, the customs of Ashkenazim, and Mechaber, Shulchan Aruch, has the Minhagim of Sephardim. When you read the Shulchan Rema, there is one thing Rema writes through the whole Shulchan Aruch. He said, "V'achin nahaginan, v'achin na'ug." This is the language he uses. He says, "This is our custom. This is the custom should be." Yesh nahagim. Everything is about Rema. When Rema writes his agahot, his piece in Shulchan Aruch, this is the way forward. Why does he have to write that? Why Rema has to worry about what Minhagim, the Ashkenazim are going to follow? Write the halacha. This is the halacha. Because something happened to Rema himself that he came out with this piece that he has to write Yesh Nohagim. Rema, before he came a rabbi at Krakow, he was the rabbi of the city of Krakow. When he came to the city, before he became a rabbi, again, they asked him, write down the customs that you want the city to follow. So Rama asked them, what minhagim are already in place? Tell me what minhagim are there already. They go over stuff with him. He sees one minhag there, but he said, what's going on? It doesn't make sense. What was the minhag? Minhag was like this, that in that city, any woman that went to the mikveh at night, the next morning, the shamash, the gabbai of the Bet Knesset, came to the shul, and he went to the husband and said, Mazal Tov. That was the minhag in the city. The Rama comes and says, what is going on here? What are you doing? That's not the proper thing. I don't want this minhag to be in the city. They told him, listen, this minhag has been here for hundreds of years. Why? What are you doing? He said, I don't want this minhag to be a stay around. It's not a prophet, it's not tzniut, it's not modest, and I want to get rid of it. And they took it off. A few weeks later, when Rama was a rabbi in Krakow already, same thing happened. Some fellow came from out of town. He didn't know that the rabbi, Rav Moshe Israel, is the rabbi of Krakow, said, doesn't want this minhag to continue, and took it off. This man comes into that, didn't know, and next day he comes to shul, and he's waiting for the gabbai to come tell him Mazal Tov. He doesn't. And he goes up to the gabbai, starts fighting and screaming in the middle of the shul, so what's wrong with you? Don't you know that you have to come tell me this? He said, listen, I'm telling you, this is the Rav, goes to him, he told me not to continue anymore. And they... Rav Moshe said, what's the problem? This is what happened. My wife didn't know. The gabbai went and found out that she never went to the mikveh. The water was so cold that she skipped. Now Rama said, oh, I understand. Because a lot of women didn't go to the mikveh. It wasn't like today. The water was hot. And they went, and this way, if a woman would skip the mikveh and wouldn't go, the husband would know. And that's why the minhag was established in the city that they should say that. So Rav Moshe Yisrael, when he had that, he tore a kavel, he tore his garment, and he said, now I understand the importance of minhagim. Now I understand why they established minhagim. Doesn't matter what, how, where. This is the way it was established. And that's why when he wrote the Rema, wrote the Haggad in Shulchan Aruch, every time says, Yeshno Hagin. We follow this. A lot of it doesn't make sense today. A lot of things that we do does not make sense. But that's the way it is. Now, if you come and say, I want to change it, you know what's going to happen? Next day, the halachot are going to be changed. Once we start putting a hole in a wall, the wall is going to crumple down and we don't have a wall anymore. Therefore, every minhag, every piece, every idaho of the minhag, a custom, is so important. Because that's the neshama of the halacha. Once we take it off, then we don't have the halacha anymore either. Even though it doesn't make sense, you still have to keep it. Another example of different customs. Just want to give you ideas why there are different customs. 3 weeks. There are 3 weeks between Shiva Sabbat Tammuz and Tisha B'Av. The Sephardim are very maker, very lenient about Churban Beit HaMikdash. The Ashkenazi Jews are very machmir. Why is it like that? You want to tell me that the Jews, the Sephardi Jews living in Spain, they don't care about Churban Beit HaMikdash, the structure of Beit HaMikdash? The Ashkenazi Jews care about Churban Beit HaMikdash? And if you see that starting 3 weeks, you cannot listen to the music, you cannot shave, cannot take a haircut, and even during the 9 days, the Ashkenazi Jews are so strict about alachot and customs of the 3 weeks, which is unbelievable. And the difference between Ashkenazim and Sephardim is so wide. Why is it like that? You can't tell me that they care about Churban Beit HaMikdash more. They don't care enough about Churban Beit HaMikdash. What did it come from? And the Gemara, if you learn the Gemara says clearly, like the customs of Sephardim, the Ashkenazim are more strict. The reason is like this. Again, you have to keep the halacha. The halacha was that you have to worry about the Churban Beit HaMikdash. How are you going to make sure that this is going to be kept? The Ashkenazim lived in Germany and in France, that the Churban Beit HaMikdash to them was not important. They had a very beautiful economic life, they had parnasa very beautifully, they lived very nicely, and they weren't under persecution of the goyim. The Chachamim of that generation, they said, you know what, Rabotai, if you live like this and you are not going to pay attention to the Churban Beit HaMikdash, you are not going to even observe Tisha B'Av anymore. Therefore, they came out with the ideas of different customs, how to observe. They put more chumrot, more strictness in the halachot, in order to make sure that people never forgot about Churban Beit HaMikdash. The Sephardi Jews, they lived with Arabs. They're always under persecution of Arabs. They always felt that they are in the galut. They always felt that they want to kill them. They didn't need a reminder of Churban Beit HaMikdash. That for them, just observing Tisha B'Av was good enough. They understood that we are in the Galut already. And this is where the differences came from, and that's why Ashkenazim have this, and Sephardim have that. Again, at the body of the halacha, they had to make sure the halachot have kept that, and most of it came from where they lived, the society, the country, the economic life that they had was a big player in establishing minhagim that the Jews had. One of the people that had major impact on making Ashkenazi custom was Rabbeinu Gershom. Rabbeinu Gershom lived in Europe, and he came out with a lot of they came out with a band. If somebody does not do certain things, they put them in cherem. One of the things that Rabbeinu Gershom came with was, cannot marry two wives. And if somebody needs a gives a get to his wife, he cannot force the wife to give a get. Why did he come out with this? Alacha, so the Shulchan Aruch does not have this. But the Rabbeinu Gershom said he put a ban till today. By the way, today everybody agrees with this, and they have to follow Rabbeinu Gershom. Even though that when Rabbeinu Gershom made this law, he made it only until the end of the year 5000, and it's already almost 1,000 years passed from that, we still keep it because it's very applicable today also. The reason Rabbeinu Gershom came with this halacha was because they lived in Europe, right? The goyim, they didn't marry two wives. The Christians in France and Germany, they didn't do that. And Rabbeinu Gershom said, if Jews are going to do that, become the Chilul Hashem. They don't understand. They live in a country. And to do this and to not to be like the rest of the society is a Chilul Hashem. He made this halacha. But what about the Jews in North Africa and all these places? It wasn't applicable because they going there, they had more than one wife. And therefore, the Jews said, there's no reason to make a cherem for them. That's why the Sephardim did not accept the cherem of Rabbeinu Gershom, Ashkenazim did. But later on, when the Jews, the establishment of Medinat Israel in 1948, when the Jews came to Eretz Israel, all the Rabbanim, they gathered together and they agreed that everybody should follow the cherem Rabbeinu Gershom, and therefore today, Mizman HaZeh, the minhag is, Jews that they live in Eretz Israel in America, is also the law of the country is that you have to follow the halacha of the country, and the halacha is that you cannot marry more than one wife. And therefore we follow, everybody follows Rabbeinu Gershom. Again, the society had a lot to do with this. The same time when Jews lived in Eretz Israel, Keraim had a big impact of halacha. Therefore Rambam, Maimonides, a lot of things that Rambam writes in the halacha, he says this is what we need to do because the Keraim are doing that. Now what's the example? The example is that the Jews in the Sephardi Jews, they get married until today in Eretz Israel. When is the best day to get married? Anybody knows?
Friday.
That's right, Friday. Friday in Eretz Israel is the best day to get married. In America it's Sunday. Why Friday? Where did Friday come from? The Jew, by the way, the Rama, the Mahari writes that the Ashkenazi Jews should not get married on Friday because it could bring Chilul Shabbos. Why would you get married on Friday? The Rambam writes because the Kohanim that lived in Israel, they were so machmir about not getting married on Friday. Because they went according to the law of Torah Shebichtav, they didn't care about Torah Shebaalpeh, and because of that, we go totally against what the Keraim do. We do not only we don't have that, we bedafka go out and we get married on Friday. But the Jews, they didn't live in Eretz Israel, they didn't have to deal with Keraim, and that they didn't have to worry about that. Now there is another custom, the custom of Nerot Chanukah. Bezat Hashem, 3 weeks, 25 days, we have Chanukah. The Chanukah is a very interesting Yom Tov because the Ashkenazim follow the Sephardi Posek, and Sephardim follow the Ashkenazi Posek. Very interesting. What does Sephardim do? Sephardim, they light Ner Echad Ish Uveito. One light, the family lights only one light. The Ashkenazim, they light place on everybody, right? How many people in the family? They light. Everybody lights for themselves. Who wrote this halacha that the family, right, everybody should light for themselves? Rambam. Rambam was the father of Sephardi halachot. Who said that Ner Echad Ish Uveito, the light only one? Tosfot. Tosfot live in Germany. The Sephardim followed the Tosfot, the Ashkenazi posek, and the Ashkenazi followed Rambam, the Sephardi posek. Well, how did this happen? There's a Sefer Ketav HaKabbalah. It says but it's a beautiful understanding how this custom came about. So again, it's only a custom that how many you do and who should do it. The halacha is that you have to light Nerot Chanukah. How many to do it? That's the custom. The custom was established based on this. The Sephardim, they were able to light outside. When they lived in Arab countries, they had the freedom to light outside their homes, like in Eretz Israel today. The Ashkenazim, they lived in Germany and France, they weren't allowed to light their Hanukkah candles outside their homes. Therefore, they said, if we are lighting, let's say, a family, five people in the family, they go outside and you light five candles. People are passing by and looking at the Nerot Chanukah. What day of Chanukah is today? They have no idea. It's today fifth, fourth, nobody knows. And therefore the idea of the Chanukah is totally destroyed. By Sephardim, because they lit outside, they lit only 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Because when you light outside, people are going to look at it. The passerbys are going to look at it, and they have to know what day exactly we are. That's why this custom came from. And so it's unbelievable how many cheshbonot went into establishing an halacha. How many thoughts went in to say, this is what we need to follow, and that's what we need today. Everybody lights inside. Why can't we all follow the same halacha? Because, again, once the minhag was established, if we take this minhag out, then another thing we're going to take out, which is applicable today, and by end of the day, we have no minhagim. And therefore, this particular halacha is so important to understand that we need to follow the minhagim of Klal Israel. Another thing that explains to us where the customs come from, you go to shul with shoes. Do you know in a lot of countries, when I was growing up, I did not walk inside the shul with the shoes. There was every synagogue at a place that you had to take your shoes off, then you walk into the shul. But today in America, they're like that in Eretz Yisrael. Nowhere is like that. Why do you have to take off your shoes? Because, again, is the idea of Chilul Hashem. Muslims, when they go to their mosque, they take their shoes off. Why? Because Admat Kodesh, the land, the Kedusha, the holiness of the land that you are walking in, you have to have respect. When you walk in with the shoes, you don't have respect. How do we know that? That's right. Shalne alecha ma'araglecha. Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, take off your shoes. And the going, by the way, that's what they say. The Muslims, that's what they say. Say Moses, when he walked into the land was Kodesh, he took off his shoes. And that's why the Muslims, they take off their shoes when they walk into their mosque. Jews, if we walk in with the shoes, it shows that we don't care. The holiness of the place is not important for us. Became a custom. Jews that they live in Middle Eastern countries, Iraq, Iran, Syria, Egypt, all these places that they have, that the Muslims went into to their mosque without the shoes, the Jews also, they made a custom that they have to take off their shoes when you walk into the synagogue. Another halacha. When you daven, you go like this. Are you allowed to stand daven like this? Let's say you want daven Shemoneh Esrei, you stand like this and daven like this with your hand. Are you allowed to do that or no? You are not. You are not allowed to have your hand like this. It's brought down in halacha. Why not? The Be'er Sheva says the reason is because the Muslims do that. The Poskim said that you should not do that because that looks like your communication with the Kadosh Baruch Hu is the same way like Arabs. If you look at the Arabs and they send them out, they don't have sidurim. Right? How do they do? And they stand like this. They bow and go like that. And therefore, the custom became that when Jews don't want to daven to Hashem, they shouldn't stand like this with their hand their hand drawn like this and daven to Hashem. And again, Chachamim, they looked at it, they brought a lot of cheshbonot, a lot of ideas went in order to establish a custom. Didn't just happen by itself. Didn't somebody just wake up one morning and say, okay, let's start a minhag today. Didn't happen. They went in and thought about it. Chachamim of that generation, they gathered together, they put a lot of thoughts and a lot of ideas, and they came out with this with these different customs. Now, the Chassidut is a different ball game now. Chassidim, the word Chassid is somebody who wants to be strict. That's what Chassid means. Now, today, again, the idea of Chassidut was totally changed. What originally, when the Chassidim, they came out with the idea of Chassidut, their idea was, I want to be Machmir. What can I do to get closer, draw myself closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And they, in order for them, Baal Shem Tov was the original establishment of Chassidut. He was the one, is the father of Chassidut. His idea was, you have to have besimcha, that's number one, and simcha not have a joy is not enough, you also have to be machmir. That they came out that the minhagim of Chassidim is very different. It's not only one minhag. If you are satmer, it's one custom, you are ger, it's another custom, belz is another custom, what's the other one, vishnis, each one have their own customs. The reason for that is because that's not written in stone. Their Rebbe, whoever their Rebbe was, whoever they wanted to follow, they came out with the minhagim, how to connect and communicate with HaKadosh Baruch Hu based on their level. And we know the Agon Mevilna, the Gaon, was very against it at that time. Today is not anymore. Today, Baruch Hashem, the Hasidim, the Rebbes that they are around today, they all follow the original idea, but with different customs, they gave a little salt and pepper to it. That's basically what's happening today. But the original idea of Chassidut was different than what we have today. Now, the last thing I'm going to finish in a few minutes, I'm going to open the floor for questions. The last thing I want to talk about was all this is beautiful. The minhagim, as I said at the beginning, are fantastic. And we know the Gemara tells us that Bnei Israel, they were saved from Mitzrayim because of customs. Shelo shinu et lashonam et shemam umalbusham. They didn't change their language, they didn't change their clothing, and they didn't change their name. And these three things is not a halacha about any of them. You could talk any language you want, you could have any clothing you want, you could have any name you want. But the Gemara tells, the Midrash tells us, because they kept the customs of their father, because of that, they were able to be saved from Mitzrayim. But there is another issue with that. Because later on, Hashem gave us the Torah, everybody stood by Har Sinai, Ish Echad, Belev Echad. Everybody stood together. If you have different customs, how you are going to stand there, the Ish Echad, Belev Echad? I want to tell you something, and I said that in my shul so many different times, and I heard it from Rav Shach. Jews, they should follow their customs where they come from and from Minhag Avotenu Biyadenu. But more important than Minhag Avotenu Biyadenu is Achdut of Klal Israel, the unity of Klal Israel. If we don't have unity, we want to have our Minhagim, then it's not worth it. We can't fight over, oh, you are Sephardi, you are Ashkenazi, you are Chabad, you are Satmer, you are Ger, we don't do this, you do this, we don't do that. That's baloney. That's not what Klal Yisrael are about. Klal Yisrael are about we are together. We have the same Torah, and that's the most important. At the same time, the minhagim are important, but you have to have respect for every person's minhag as long as came from the right place. If somebody comes and says, "Listen, this is what we do," respect it. Fall, listen, you know, this is what you do. I respect what you do. You respect me, what I do. Everybody respects each other because we have one thing combines all of us together, and that's it. Holy Torah, the Torah Tenu HaKadusha. And this is what we need to focus on. Today, the truth is, we had Rabbi Yehuda Anasi today, he could have said, "Listen, Rabotai, let's put all the minhagim together, let's all follow the Shulchan Aruch, let's follow the real halacha of Gemara, and let's put everything aside." But we don't have that today. And this is what we need Mashiach for. Mashiach needs to come in order to take care of that. And Mehachet Kaseh, but if at the same time that we have all these customs and we unite all each other with the customs, and that is when the Mashiach is going to say, "You know what? They lived in such a difficult situation and they're still unified. Let's bring the Mashiach. Let's put Klal Israel together because they really deserve it." This is our Nisayon. This is the test that we have. We are in a test. The test is follow your customs, at the same time respect the other customs. Any questions?
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to torahmediaatlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.